It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, it's Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. It's time for our podcast, Busting Balls, which is about drafts, prospects, and the future. And hey, what's more about the future than college football? And we delve into it quite often here on Busting Balls. And Michigan and Michigan State have huge games this weekend. I mean, massively huge. If Evan's Spartans win, they'll be in the top 25 in the country. Who would have thought that? And I think they got a pretty good chance against Boston College, even though that game is in at Boston College. I call it the Will Birchfield Field.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Will went there. So, hey, Will, my alma mater's playing yours. And I don't really care. I don't know if Will does that much either, to be honest with you.
Not really, no.
Not really. He's not. I don't see him rocking a bunch of the, you know.
BC Eagles. Gear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Never
of,
once.
Not a lot of gold and maroon on that kid.
Not a lot, you know. But it's a big game. And Michigan is playing USC. Alex Orji's going to start at quarterback. And here's Evan, if Michigan State wins, they'll be in the top 25. If Michigan loses, they'll be out of the top 25. Now, who would have said that at the beginning of the year?
I don't even think the slappy of all slappies would have said that. I know I wouldn't have said that. Even trolling, I wouldn't have said it because it would have been a stupid statement, I would think. But it's just, I mean, you know what? We didn't know much about Michigan State coming into the year because of all the new kids, the new coaching staff, everything that transpired before Jonathan Smith got here. How would players react? Would his offense work? What would the defense look like? All of these questions have been answered halfway, I would say, through three games for the Spartans. They played Prairie View, I'm pretty sure I could have gotten a few snaps. I don't know if you saw it, but Chippewa Valley legend Tommy Schuster even got a touchdown for the Spartans.
That was great, man. The Big Reds.
And
he was
so
great in wherever he was at.
North Dakota State,
yeah.
And so you can't take much out of that game. Now, they scored the 40 points. You saw Charles Brantley have the pick six, yada, 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 right? Their first game against Florida Atlantic, they looked just like complete ass, and you're like, oh, my God, we're going to go through this again. And then from week one to week two, they improved so vastly that they overcame being an 8.5-point dog at Maryland, won it in a fashion where you thought they were dead to rights. Maryland had a chance to kick a field goal to get up 10 points. They miss it. State comes down 75 yards. Boom. We all know what happened. And so I am optimistic for Michigan State that they have a competent offense, that they have a good coach, that players seem to be clicking. I mean, they're already getting hit with the injury bug. They're down to a third-string guard now after two of them been lost for the year. And I just think for a Spartan fan, there's actually hope for the future, where 6 months ago, I don't know if there was any hope for this team and their future in green and white. And then you go look at Michigan, who is coming off of arguably their best season ever, right? I mean, they won a national title. They went 15-0. Now, they had been decimated because Jim Harbaugh left. You have the whole sign-stealing allegations. You got all the cheeseburger stuff from earlier in the year. Now you got Sharon Moore. He's sitting there, and it seems like he's just a dead man walking with everything that you see. Now his contract is finalized, and everything's good to go, and he can't be fired for show causes and yada, yada, yada. But that all brings me to one simple question, Pat. He changed quarterbacks to Alex Orji, okay? What the hell happened between week one and week three? Because I understand what happened on the field, and that's fine. And nothing changed from week one to week two to week three offensively, other than them being able to run the ball a little bit better. But I just, what I will never be able to understand, Pat, is against Texas, you had Davis Warren still out there taking reps at the end of the game, where all you kept hearing is he needs these valuable reps. He hasn't played much quarterback. He had leukemia. He didn't get to play his senior year because of COVID. And you hear all of these stories that are being shoved down your throat. And I thought he was a good story because of all of that, a walk on, yada, yada. And then they pull him and they announce it to the media, like even before the game. Like, I'm not saying there's going to be much element of surprise with Alex Orji under center compared to Davis Warren, but just the fact that a coach would go and say that a week before that game, when you know how much you need that game, so you try to look at any chance possible to have the upper hand. I don't know what the hell's going on, and it reminds me of Jim Harbaugh's early years when if it wasn't John O'Korn, then it was Brandon Peters. If it wasn't Brandon Peters, it was somebody else. And if it wasn't them, it was somebody else. It was always this musical chairs to where you're trying to plug in place a square into a round hole, and it just doesn't work. I don't know what you're seeing, Pat, because there might still be bias to where I am enjoying seeing Michigan struggle a little bit after the last 3 years. But having said that, I mean, their defense doesn't look right. I mean,
Wait a second. You're not just kind of enjoying it.
I'm really enjoying it.
They had to take you to the hospital because it was lasting longer than 4 hours.
But, Pat,
maybe you're OD'd on ED medication.
Seeing, like, Arkansas State go after Will Johnson. You know what I mean? And completing passes on the young man. And he's supposed to be the top corner in the nation. You got Mason Graham, who I don't even know if I heard his name against Arkansas State. If Colston Loveland can't go for the Wolverines against USC, who the hell are they passing the ball to? Right. I mean, it's just there's so many more questions with Michigan football than there is Michigan State. And I don't even know how we got here. I really don't.
Well, I think obviously they messed up because they had a deep run into the postseason, right? I mean, they won the national championship. And then they had the Harbaugh offseason leaving. And instead of being prepared for the following year, it was like they rolled around like a donut that just came out of the fryer in a lot of powdered sugar instead of preparing for the 2024 season. They didn't get a quarterback in the transfer portal, a number one problem. Evidently, they didn't feel comfortable with Orji's passing. Davis Warren, you know, good in the spring games. Every time he's played in the spring game, he's looked really good. But this isn't the spring game. And they have a four-star recruit, Jaden Davis, who was enrolled for the spring and did participate in the spring practices in the game. They haven't gotten him ready. A lot of teams, when they get a four-star quarterback, and he was very experienced in high school, they would have him ready for the start of the year, and he would be pushing for us. But they immediately put the redshirt tag on him, it appears.
Yeah, and so it's just I don't know what they're doing. Did it with JJ, so that's why I'm confused. Like, you get these kids ready. I mean, he was very, very highly touted, and the fact that he can't see the field, it makes you wonder. And the thing that you said was interesting.
First of all, nobody talks about him.
Nobody.
And why? I don't read a lot of things with the Michigan media where they act like, oh yeah, they were going to do this, and they don't get receivers. They don't have receivers other than Loveland. You know, Samaji Morgan is a good second receiver
or third in the slot, but he can't take you outside.
I haven't seen anything from Morris. They missed Wilson and Cornelius Johnson a great deal. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line looks like they didn't really augment it the way they needed to. Again, this is Michigan. This is Michigan with deep pockets. This is Michigan in the NIL era. Michigan seems to have fallen behind in that regard. All right?
Yeah, and Sherrone Moore was talking this week that they're still rotating centers in practice. Like, you're 4 weeks in. How do you not already have this figured out by now?
Yeah, they would kill to have Tanner Miller at center, the Michigan State center, that transferred in from Oregon State, or to have Childs, or to have a receiver like Nick Marsh. So I get it, man. I'm still expecting Michigan to beat Michigan State. Let's be realistic here. But think about it. Michigan State wins this week. They're in the top 25. Michigan loses this week. They're out of the top 25. It's an utterly amazing story. And it looks like Sharon Moore is completely in over his head. And it looks like Michigan State hired the right coach in Jonathan Smith. Correct?
I think 100%. And like I said earlier, coming in, I didn't know much about Oregon State other than, you know, their cool helmets and their chainsaw when there was a turnover. But I didn't know much about him. I remembered him as a quarterback with T.J. Houshmandzadeh and Chad Johnson. But then I see this guy, and I'm like, wait, he was a D1 quarterback?
I know.
I'm pleasantly surprised, and it reminds me a little bit of when Mark D'Antonio took over. It's not going to be rah-rah crap. It's going to be straightforward football. And I'm not saying he's ever going to be as successful as Mark D'Antonio was at Michigan State, but it just feels solid. Even when Tucker came in, it didn't feel solid. And they had the lightning strike with Kenneth Walker in that special season, but I think that's all that was.
Well, this game reminds me a bit of that season. But insert Boston College instead of Miami.
Right.
You know, that Miami game down there, I thought, well, they're going to go down there. It's going to be 90-some degrees. They're going to wilt. Miami had a pretty good reputation at the time. They ended up having a lousy season. Their quarterback was highly regarded, all those things. Just like with Castellanos this week.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know why he pronounces the name Castellanos instead of Castellanos, and it's spelled the same as Nick. Don't blame me. But the bottom line about it is, you know, there's a similar effect. Similar type of quarterback, actually. And look, Kenneth Walker III is the best college player in the history of this state, in my opinion, except for one, and that was Charles Woodson.
Right.
As a college player, the impact he had on that year as a transfer, and it was like these Tiger relievers or something. It's like, well, how come he didn't do more at Wake Forest? I mean, heck, he had like 7 yards when he played against Michigan State.
And what's crazy too, Pat, is like you heard the rumblings out of spring that this kid like looks special in practice. And I'm sitting there like, all right, it's spring practice. Everybody looks great. And then from his very first carry, 75 yards for a touchdown, we should have known we were in for something special.
Yeah, and is Nick Marsh a version of Kenneth Walker? I mean, he's not going to be like that.
But I
didn't expect that from Nick Marsh.
No, not I, to come I knew. Out. Because he's not a burner, but yet he's beating these guys deep just with his footwork and his fundamentals and the way he runs routes. And then he has this enormous body that he's a 6'4". Like, there's no way he's 17 years old if you look at this kid. And think about all the recruiting that went with him. You know, he went and committed to Mel Tucker. Then all this stuff happened with Mel Tucker. Then he decommitted. And then he ended up recommitting again to Jonathan Smith. And in this day and age of college football, I pray that he and Childs are still on Michigan State next year, that Obama doesn't come in with multi-million dollars and try to sweep them away. But I think what they're building at Michigan State is a really good foundation. And I think you are right, Pat, because if you look at Michigan, what are they after this year, right? Donovan Edwards goes, Loveland goes, Graham goes, Grant goes, Johnson goes. What is your depth? Like, where do you stand? And did they sell, I mean, I'm going to use just a term, but sell their soul to the devil for a national title? Like, are they going to go down this long hole?
Well, yeah, they did. First of all, the answer to that, you and I both agree on that. They did sell their soul to the devil for a national title.
Right.
And you know, they did. They're you know, look, that team, I don't blame the players like Corum or McCarthy.
No.
Love those players, man. Those are the best, man. And I know you didn't like it, but when they got up there and they said, Tuck's coming, they did the run DMC, Tuck's running. I love that. All right, that was great. And those guys are great players, so I don't want to take anything away from their play. They didn't have anything to do with that. But the administration, the way they've been so insular, and the fact that a school with that academic reputation, this isn't Michigan State where this is part of their DNA.
Right.
Michigan's DNA was the opposite of that. And their academic reputation is stellar. And to behave like, hey, man, we don't care. We just win the national title. Our university president, while all this is going on, is a smiley emoji.
And, wearing Michigan jerseys.
Yeah, and this, their Board of Regents, which is very smart, stellar Board of Regents for the most part, way different than the clown show of Michigan State for all these years and continues to be, to all of a sudden, hey, it's okay. To me, it was deplorable. And Harbaugh had to go, and everybody knew it. And the Ward Manuel thing, I used to think Ward Manuel was like a really perfect athletic director for Michigan. He's a friggin' disaster.
Big time.
Big time. And, I don't know. It's like, and I know you said this, because I heard you say it. You might have even said it on this podcast, Evan. You said, pride before the fall. Whoa, who said that? You liked that when Mark D'Antonio did that, didn't you,
mm-hmm.
Jenkins? You really liked that. Well, and I kind of thought it was funny when you brought it up, because if you remember Mark's look on his face at that time.
As serious as I've ever seen.
A serious look I've ever seen. And there was an element of truth to that, And in this particular case, it might even be more relevant. And, Michigan fans would say, well, it's just a couple of Spartan slapdicks doing a show here on the podcast and everything. It isn't about that. I praise Michigan a lot. It's a wonderful school, and they've done them wrong. And it's the old cliche, chickens coming home to roost in a way. But you know what, Evan? They don't care. They're like Michigan State fans. When Michigan State won that Rose Bowl, they could have died and gone to heaven. It's like, oh, I want to ever see them win a Rose Bowl. Well, they did and everything. And they managed to sustain their success for a while, truly.
Yeah, but, the only difference is Michigan State doesn't tout the all-time winningest program and all these accolades, titles, and leaders and best, and thumb your nose up to everybody. Like, that's the main difference. Michigan State, and I think their fans understand. I was born in 1983. They won the Rose Bowl in the 87 season and then the 13 season.
I was there. Whoa.
But that's just my point. Like, that's two times in my lifetime. I understand what they are. They aren't the powerhouse that Michigan is, was, and will be. But the problem is when you get high on your own supply for a long time and everybody in your building tells you look wonderful, even though you haven't cut your hair in 4 months and let yourself go, but everybody's still telling you pretty, you're probably going to listen to them. And I think that's exactly what's going on is everybody, like you said, they're still wearing their national title T-shirts and sweatshirts and rolling around in their special Air Jordans. But at the end of the day, you're not thinking about the actual kids that are taking the field this season, because last season doesn't matter anymore. It's over, and now it's the future.
They still have some premier players. Genuinely premier players. They're going to have to step forward against USC. But that Branch kid, Will Johnson's going to get all he can handle in that game from him if they try to isolate.
Well, and they have three receivers. They have two guys that are 6'4 and taller. One's 6'6 down in in the red zone. And that goes back to what I was saying about Michigan to start the year. Yes, they have three outstanding players on their defense. The only problem is there's eight other dudes that are out there at the same exact time they have to cover.
Some of those guys, Stewart and Zeke Berry, those guys are pretty good players.
Like Wink Martindale's getting them out of position though by blitzing these guys. So it's Don Brown all over again. And I just feel when you're an upper echelon team like a Michigan and Alabama and Ohio State, you shouldn't have to sell out on the blitz in order to get home. especially when you have two interior dudes that are NFL first round picks.
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes ultimately with this, but
I'll be watching.
Who could have thought, Evan Jenkins, that we'd be in this situation? Your Spartans may be a top 25 team just 3 weeks into the season, and Michigan out of the top 25. Certainly October 26th will be a lot more interesting in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I would say that.
And hopefully you have the ACC network that you can watch Michigan State and Boston College. Why that's on the ACC network and not like ESPN or ESPN2 or the Big Ten Network or CBS or NBC or Peacock or anywhere it's on the ACC network.
Yeah, well, yes, it's the way it is until you actually start winning. But anyway, enjoyed the podcast with you, Evan. And here's the thing. You know, like us, download us, subscribe to us on the Apple iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. You can get this podcast at Odyssey.com on the 97.1 The Ticket website. Of course, Pat Caputo 98, that's my X feed. Jen Mint Jenkins, that's Evan's X feed. And we put it up on Facebook and as well on the account of the station and my Facebook account, if I remember to put it on there. I'm not a big Facebook dude, to be honest with you, unless I'm looking up what's going on with my old high school classmates. But till next time, we'll see you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.